Good morning. My name is Cameron. I'm the pastor of family life here at Cross Point, which means I get to work with our students, kind of primarily middle school, high school, but then also with our kids team, which is a lot of fun. Excited to be up here this morning with you guys. We're looking at the book of James, and we're going to be taking kind of a deep dive in it over this next year. And so last week, if you weren't here, Jody kind of dove into the introduction of the book, because in biblical letters, like, you know, it's not just like the front of a letter you would send to someone where it's just like to this person from this person. There's usually a little more into it for that, and we're not like as connected to the context. So he talked about who James was, that James was the half-brother of Jesus, that he was considered himself like a slave to Jesus, a servant of Jesus, and he was very influential in the church, not because of his connection with Jesus, but because of his faith and the way he led. And today we're looking at the second half of the introduction, which is who this letter has been written to. So why don't you throw it up on the screen? It goes, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Now, if you don't know what the 12 tribes, like what the heck that's referring to, in the Old Testament, that refers to the people of God. So kind of like how we would maybe say about the United States, like, oh, the 50 states, and that would be, oh, of course, the U.S. Like, no one says, oh, what 50 states are you talking about? The 12 tribes would be this very specific group of people, right? In the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, going all the way back, God met with this guy named Abraham and said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and I'm going to, through you, I'm going to bless the entire world. It'll be more numerous than the stars up in the sky. And Abraham had Isaac, who had Jacob, and then Jacob had these 12 sons, and this family was divided up into these 12 tribes. And so Jews, all the way up through Jesus's day, would identify themselves with one of the 12 tribes based off of kind of their family lineage. So the 12 tribes became the Jewish nation, the Israelites. And so this book, a lot of people, like, there's clearly like a Jewish bent to it, because a lot of the early Christian church was Jewish. Like, they were Jewish converts to Jesus as their Messiah. But he's probably writing to more than just the Jews. He's writing to people who had converted to Christianity as Jews, but also as Gentiles, which is non-Jews. And he's writing to this new people of God that God had formed and is forming through the church. And he calls them the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, I think because he's trying to like figuratively connect them to the ancient people of Israel. He's trying to help them like see themselves in a different way and see themselves figuratively connected to the people of Israel who were scattered among the nations in the Old Testament and throughout like Jewish history. So if you don't know, if you go back to the Old Testament, this thing kept happening to the Jews where they would get scattered among the nations. And this word, this Greek word here in James is diaspora, which then is used for like other people groups. But it's in Israelite history, nations kept coming in and they would take over the Jews and then scatter them into other places. So think of it like this. Back then, people were very good at knowing how to conquer other nations. Like, nations did this all the time. So they kind of had some best practices of like the best way to conquer someone. Now imagine that Minnesota got a little like, you know, angsty and wanted to take over Wisconsin, okay? So they come, they march, they take over all of our cities. And then what they've learned, what countries have learned throughout history, is instead of just leaving all the people right where they are, it makes sense to take a whole bunch of them out of the area. Right, because we know, if we're in Wisconsin, we know where all the guns are, we know where like all the supplies are, we know where the best places to like stage a rebellion and fight back against this nation who had come in. And so they didn't want Wisconsinites in Wisconsin, you know, Minnesota wouldn't. So they might move us back to Minnesota. Maybe they took over Iowa too. So they move us back to Iowa and they move some Iowa people in here. And you kind of like mix everyone up and scatter them all around because then they're not home. They don't like have those resources. They're homeless. They don't know the land. They don't know the language. They don't know the customs. They can't start an uprising. But there's this like terrible side effect too, and that if you have been scattered to a new place, you also just feel really disconnected And like, you're just like, a lot of times these people get moved to other places and they're almost like slave labor. Like, oh, cool, we'll take the Jews and we'll take them back over here. And now we'll use them to like build our stuff. And so super disconnected, and they have a really hard time thriving in a new area. Like, can you imagine just getting ripped out of your homeland and moved somewhere else, and you don't know anyone, you don't even know like the language around you? This is like the world that a lot of the Jews lived in if they were scattered among the nations. Now, I've experienced a very tiny bit of this. My wife and I moved here from Oregon to Wisconsin like 4 years ago. And so there are these weird little like disorienting things. Like, why is everyone being so nice to us in the grocery store? Why are people talking to us? This is weird. What's happening? But even like little things like, I don't know where food is in the grocery store. Like, this is what my wife, like, it takes me so long to go grocery shopping. I don't know where anything is. And there's these little disorienting things that are super trivial compared to what people back in the ancient times had to deal with as they were scattered. Now, what's interesting is that God's message to his people as they're scattered among the nations, ripped out of their home, living a life that they don't really want to be living, his message is not like, fight back, like, here, I'm going to teach you how to fight back and you're going to take over these people. It was not to run away. It was not to just like hunker down and survive till God could rescue them. But he actually, God told his people to be faithful, to settle in, to call this new foreign place home, and to be a blessing to the people around them, all while not compromising their faith in God. So there's a story in the Old Testament of Daniel. In the book of Daniel, there's like some crazy prophecy stuff in it too. But in the first part of the book, there's this great story where we see Daniel and his friends, they were Israelites, and now they're in this foreign country that was formerly their enemies that had come and taken them over and ripped them out of their home and taken them back to this new nation. And Daniel is actually working in the palace. He's like working for the good of his former enemies. He's working for the good of the people around him, while at the same time not compromising his faith. So there's times where like Daniel won't eat meat sacrificed to idols, or he won't bow down and worship a statue. So there's like this tension that God tells his people as they're scattered, like, settle in, be faithful, like, make this place home, work for the people, the good of the people around you, and at the same time, you need to stay faithful to me, and there are things you aren't going to do in this new culture. So it's kind of these two things in tension. And God, because God wants to use their scatteredness to bring about powerful transformation in and through their lives of these people that are scattered among the nations. Now, he doesn't immediately come in and rescue them, and like, hey, this bad thing happened, let me rescue you and pull you out of it. But he's not absent either. Just because God doesn't rescue the scattered people of Israel doesn't mean he's absent. Because God is fully present and with his people. And he's forming them into the people that he's created them to be, and also helping them live out their original calling to bless all the nations on earth. Right? God sees this incredible opportunity. Like, here he had told his people, like, for years and years and years, like, be a blessing, be a blessing, be a blessing. And Israel just kind of like hoarded the blessing to themselves and held on to it. And then they get scattered all over the earth. God's like, this is perfect. Now you're already out there. So continue, like, be a blessing. Do the thing I've asked you to do for hundreds of years. So God is using this opportunity of them being scattered to form them into more faithful people and help them bless the people around them. Now, the early church, the reason why James is connecting the early church to the scattered people of Israel is because the early church was in a state of scatteredness as well, okay? So they were physically spread out because of persecution. Like, if you read the book of Acts, at first, like, the early church is kind of all huddled together, and they're praying together, and they're like, it's this beautiful picture of what community can look like. But they're also kind of like all huddled together, like living together, and then persecution hits. They scatter all over the known world, and it ends up paving the way for Paul's ministry and all of this church planting that's going to happen all over the known world, because there's already faithful followers of Jesus kind of scattered throughout the land. Like, the scattering ends up being a good thing. But more like figuratively also, the early church was not at home in the world, Like if scattering is the opposite of being like present and at home and like and settled, the early church like spiritually was not at home in the world. Right? There was this strong culture of like, you know, worshiping the Roman gods and the Greek gods and all of these things. And the Jews had kind of like carved out their own little path of like, this is who we are and this is what we're about. But the early Christians didn't really fit into either one of these things. They didn't really have a home to settle into. They didn't have a place, so they felt spiritually scattered. So ultimately, this book of James is written to the people of God living in a world that is not their own, that they don't fully belong to, that they're not fully settled in. And when I think of it that way, that's like all of us, right? Like in some sense, all of us do not fully belong to our world and to the life that we have. We're not fully settled. We're not quite where we want to be. We're not quite like how we want things to be. And so like, I think of like, there's physical scatteredness, right? This last year, there has been more like physical scattering. Well, we haven't been like spread around the world. We've all like had to scatter into our homes. And there was a season of scattering where we're just like disconnected from other people. And many people are still living in that season, right? Like many people, especially tuning in online, right? Either because of loved ones that you care about, like in your home, or people like parents that you're taking care of, like you have to stay disconnected from the people around you. You don't get to live like a normal life, unable to see people you care about, unable to get the support that you need. Maybe a lot of people in this time are financially struggling, not like where they want to be in life. But then culturally, as followers of Jesus, like if you're going to take the call to follow Jesus seriously, there are many ways in our life that we don't really belong in this world. Like one of the first things that comes to mind is that Jesus calls us to live for the sake of other people before ourselves. And in our world, especially in Lake Country, there's this strong cultural pull to like build up our own little empire of like a better house, like a bigger boat, like all of these things, better technological gadgets, Tig and his iPhone 12, and you know, just kidding. But like we want all of this stuff for ourselves. We want to build up our own little empire. But as a follower of Jesus, there's a strong pull against that we need to put the needs of others before ourselves. There's this really annoying thing that Jesus says, like to turn the other cheek when people have wronged you, right? In our culture, that is not at all what we want to be true. We want to be able to get like retribution, and we want to be able to like make things right if someone has wronged us. But Jesus says living in the kingdom means turning the other cheek. And like if someone has wronged you, like you're going to turn the other cheek and you're going to love them and you're going to pray for your enemies. Not pray for their destruction, but pray for their repentance and for their good. There's a like, if we're going to follow and take Jesus's his words seriously, we need to refuse to enter into gossip and slander. Right, like when people at work or in family try to, or like friends try to like pull us into like these like talking bad about other people or talking about other people or kind of disparaging other people, you know, like there is a sense that like we need to be like, hey, I can't do this. Like because of who God has called me to be and because of what he's called me to be about, like I cannot talk poorly about someone else who's created in God's image. Our relationship to sexuality and alcohol needs to be different than the world around us. And I wrote this one down before Wednesday. Our allegiance to political parties and social movements can't be absolute, right? Like there needs to be a sense that any political party, any social movement, if we're really followers of Jesus, we probably won't fit 100% in any one spot in our world because all of these things are human institutions and there's like brokenness all around us. Like after the murder of George Floyd last year, I watched a pastor in Portland, which is where we came from. He was a black pastor. And I was just curious like how they were talking about things. And one of the things that I really like, it was like convicting for me. He's like, I need to understand that like I don't fully belong to any movement. It's like I'm down there marching and chanting like no justice, no peace, no justice, no peace. And as soon as the people around me are saying like, yeah, we need to kill the police. He's like, I'm out. Like the kingdom of God does not allow me to participate in this. And that's true on all sides, for all organizations, all social movements. There's probably going to be things where we have to be like, yeah, I'm out. I can't really go there with you. And so there's a sense that we should all feel a little bit like homeless, like we don't quite fit in into the boxes that our world has. And that's not a bad thing, because we belong to a kingdom that's greater than any other kingdom on this earth. We can feel, I think there's areas of our life where we can feel like restless and where we can feel unsettled and like things aren't quite going the way we want them to go. Like you're living a life that you didn't sign up for. Like when it comes to parenting, right? Like an unexpected pregnancy. You're like, I didn't sign up for this. Maybe like you had kids and you're like, this is way harder than I ever expected it to be. I didn't expect this. Like, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I wanted. Maybe as your kids have grown up, like they've made choices or things have happened to them that are not at all what you would want for them and not what you'd want for your family. And now you're kind of like stuck living with these things, trying to figure out how to navigate it. Maybe in your relationship, it feels like your spouse or your partner is kind of like turned into someone that you didn't expect them to turn into. Like, this isn't what I signed up for when I got married. Or maybe a lack of a relationship. Like, you always thought you would find someone that you'd settle down with and be with for the rest of your life. But that's not quite how things have worked out for you. You either haven't found someone or you're bouncing from person to person and haven't found like that stable thing that you've been hoping for and longing for. When it comes to work, you know, maybe you kind of took a job and kind of like fell into things and then you did this and you did this and have never really felt like you found the thing that you're supposed to do, like the thing that would like make you come alive. And so you're just kind of like stuck, like live because it pays the bills and you got to pay the bills. You're kind of stuck there, or you do kind of bounce around from place to place and have never really had longevity somewhere. When it comes to school, like I work with our middle school and high school students and those that have just graduated. And for many of you guys, this is not the school year or the couple school years that you've signed up for. Like here are these years and these formative experiences that you've kind of heard your whole life, like, oh, this is going to be so great. And now you can't see your friends and, you know, you go to college and you can't really see anyone. You have to quarantine away from people. Like this is not the life that you signed up for. And there's a couple temptations, I think, that while we're scattered, while we're unsettled, while we haven't quite like found where we want to be, where we think we should be, there's a few temptations. One temptation I've noticed is the temptation to just like run away from it. Like, this is uncomfortable. I don't like this, so I'm just going to run away. Like, I have so many friends who have had like relationships where the other person said like, nope, I'm done. I'm just like, I'm out. I'm running away from this. From work, kind of bouncing from workplace to workplace. Students who like at school are like, this is way harder than I thought it was going to be. So I'm just going to quit. Like, I'm done trying. And oftentimes it is easier in the short run just to run away. Like, this is why it's so tempting, because it's way easier, but in the long run usually causes more problems. The second temptation, I think, is probably one that we maybe struggle with a little bit more, and it's a little more insidious, because it's the better option than running away, but just because it's the better option doesn't mean it's a good option, and that is just to, like, kind of hold on, survive, just get through it, like white-knuckle your way through a season or through an area of your life. Has anyone ever felt this way before? Like, I just need to get through this. Like, I think about, as I was reflecting on this, this was kind of our culture's attitude toward 2020, right? Like, wow, 2020 sucks. Let's just get through it, and 2021 will be way better. Well, that has not worked out so far. Because guess what? Like, things don't just magically get better if we like, just avoid dealing with things. We avoid it for a while, but it's usually just going to get worse. And like, there are times that I think it's okay to kind of white knuckle your way through something. Like, I think of, there are nights where, so we have a 2.5-year-old and almost a 1-year-old. And there's nights where it's 6:15 p.m. and bedtime is 7. And it's kind of like, okay, I can do anything for 45 minutes, right? Like, I can do this. It's going to be okay. But if every Saturday I wake up and it's 7 a.m. and I'm like, okay, 12 hours, I can do it. Like, there's probably an issue there. Or like, I don't need to white knuckle my way through every experience of parenting or every experience with my spouse or every work experience. If you find yourself kind of white knuckling through everything, there's probably an issue there. And while it is better than just kind of running away, checking out, like being like, hey, I'm done with this, this is not the way God has created us to navigate things. And this is what James is ultimately, we're going to find out. There's tons of examples in the book of James where James is writing to tell us that there's a better, more faithful way to navigate being scattered and not being settled and not being where we want to be and things not being perfect around us. There is a better way to navigate it. And it is this: God wants to use your scatteredness to bring about powerful transformation in and through your life. God doesn't want us to avoid our scatteredness. He wants to use your scatteredness to bring about powerful transformation in your life and through your life to the people around you, just like he did with the ancient people of Israel. That's the same call he has for us today, is to like lean into these seasons and allow God to work his transformation in us and through us. Because these seasons have enormous potential for transformation. Like when I look back at my life, the hardest seasons were also the seasons that I grew the most when I leaned in. Like those are the times that we are more open to God's transforming presence if we allow ourselves to be open to it. And God works, God is in the business of working miracles out of things that don't feel like there's any hope or anything positive that could ever come out of it. And I do want to be super clear. I don't think God causes us to have like difficult seasons, right? It's not like God causes someone in your life to die so that you'll have to like go through grief and learn how to rely on God. But I think it speaks to the faithfulness of God that he will use even the worst situations in our life to bring about something beautiful and something redemptive. And we'll see in the rest of this book that God is with us every step of the way. Whether it's trials, whether it's struggles we have, whether it's cultural issues, like habits that we have, all sorts of things, God wants to be present and with us every step of the way and transform us into his people. And not just like good people, but faith-filled people who aren't completely thrown off course when little or big things come our way. You know, when someone at work says something to you or something happens in your family, like that it doesn't just derail you for a week or two, but that we're able to kind of stay the course and stay faithful. And people who are more free and able to love the people around us, right? Because when we're white-knuckling our way through something, it's really hard to notice where God is at work around us in people's lives, where people might need to hear God's love and where people might need help. We're just focused on, I can get through this right now. So as kind of a homework for this week, I'd love for you to spend some time with these questions. In what way do you identify with feeling scattered or unsettled? Is it like culturally? Is it physically? Maybe you're stuck at home or not able to see people. Or is it like an area of your life that just feels really like it's not where you want it to be? It just does not feel like it's what you want out of life. And what's your temptation while you feel scattered? Like, are you someone who runs away from it? Like this thing that's happening in your life, like do you want to run away? Or do you find yourself just like white knuckling your way through it? Are you fighting it, kicking and screaming every step of the way? And then lastly, what might faithfulness to God and his kingdom look like right now for you? Spend some time asking God what that is. You know, maybe if you are like stuck at home, you're disconnected from people, like what Mac was talking about earlier, like this is a great opportunity to get connected in a group, even though it's going to feel uncomfortable and it's going to be awkward doing it over Zoom and whatever. Like it might be a great opportunity to lean into that. That might be what faithfulness looks like. Maybe it's instead of fighting your workplace or your school and getting annoyed and just getting through it, seeing it as like a mission field. Like there's people all around you that are hurting and that might need to hear God's love. Maybe it's letting God dismantle like false pieces of identity in your life. Like if your identity is founded on like, I need to feel fulfilled in my career, or I need to have a relationship to be happy, or I need to have like the perfect little Instagram family in order to be happy. Like maybe God wants to do some work to like dismantle some of those things and like recenter your identity on who he says you are, not these other external things. Maybe it's taking steps of health, like confessing sins to a friend or finding someone to talk to, you know, instead of white knuckling your way through your marriage or running away from your marriage, going and finding like marriage counseling, someone to talk to. Like, I don't know what it is for you, but I believe that God has a step of faithfulness for you. Whatever that thing is that you identify, that's different than just kind of like getting through it or running away from it. So I want to encourage you to spend some time with God about that this week. And as we lean into the book of James, be open to the ways that God wants to teach you how to navigate trials and difficult times and being scattered and being culturally disconnected in this world. Be open to how God wants to teach you and how he wants your life to maybe look differently. So let me pray for us and then we can get out of here. God, thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you care about us when we're in a state of struggling or scatteredness or unsettledness, God, that your word is not just for when life is going well, but that you have words for us when life is going horribly wrong. So God, help us to be open to that. Help us to be aware and notice the areas of our life that maybe we're just trying to get through or that we're running away from. God, bring us awareness around that and then give us clarity around what it looks like to trust you with that this week. So we thank you for your love and your grace and just all you've done so we might live life with you and that we might live life in your kingdom. In your name we pray, amen. All right, don't forget on your way out, if you want to sign up for the DNA class or groups, pull out your phone and make sure you do that. So have a great week.